Welcome to Revival Today. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Choate. I want to say to you, thank you for supporting us all 2019. Now we're going into a new decade. Welcome to 2020. God is ready to clear the visions of the church. The message is today, seeking Jesus to lift it. I pray that you enjoy. The message is seeking Jesus to lift it. Turn to somebody, say, seeking Jesus to lift it. Jesus never said that the road would be easy. He spoke of all the ways the world would affect us and the trouble we would face as followers of him. I want to make this clear. This is what Jesus made clear. He spoke and he made clear to his followers that we were going to see trouble. He knew that we would struggle to hold on to him in a world that can be cold. And I want to speak about this morning because I need you to understand is that when you turn to somebody and say, we're seeking Jesus to lift it, we need to understand what we need him to lift and reason why things aren't being lifted from our life. The Bible says that a lack of knowledge is why we are going through what we're going through. If you're a farmer and you're trying to plant something and you don't know what season to plant, whatever you're trying to plant, guess what? There will not be success. Is that right? Even though you know how to plant, even though you are a good farmer, if you do not plant in its season, you're not going to reap the harvest. Okay? And God began to give me a word for the people going into 2020 to let you know that we must understand that in seeking him to lift it, what is it that we want God to lift? Think about your personal situation. Some of us are going through some things and we've been going through it for years. And we constantly pray to the Lord, Lord, I want you to lift this thing from my life. And God is saying the reason why he cannot lift it is because we don't know his word. Today's generation, people are no longer relying on the word of God. They're relying on the word of man. But I want you to know that God has said that we all must understand that we must have him for ourselves. This scripture that I have up before you says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Say rejected knowledge. Rejecting knowledge means this, like the sister just stood up and said how she needed, how there was a void in her life. Don't you know that God said, I will fill that void? But the thing is, he can't fill the void when we constantly reject his word. If his word said that you're more than a conqueror, but you don't understand how to be a conqueror, guess what? You're rejecting the knowledge of his word. So right here in the scripture, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected it. Meaning this, they don't want it. There has been times where I have sat with people and counseled them, and they refuse to do what the word says. And then guess what? They're still in the same battle. Still dealing with the same thing. Now, reason why this word is going to be so important for the body is because I want you to know that God is trying to do something in your life, but he can't do it because we're rejecting knowledge. That means we're rejecting information. This information that he has for us is what's going to deliver us, but we cannot be delivered because we constantly hear it, but don't do it. So the next passage says, I will also reject thee. So number one, he says, if you reject my knowledge, my word, I'm going to reject you. So first of all, when we constantly say God is good, yes, he's good. But when you do not take his word in and apply it to your life, guess what? He said, I have to reject you now. And because of that, that's why even us as a nation and we as a people, so many times we think that we're blessed because we put something on our dollar saying, God, we trust. When half of the families in America no longer go to church, where you can barely get people in the house of God because they no longer honor the Lord. If you go out to the fields and the sports fields, they're covered and filled with parents. But you come into the church, you can find seats all over the place because people are walking away from the Word of God. Now, for us to really make a stand in today's time, we have to understand that, no, it's not wrong if you're involved in sports, but I need you to understand, we need the Word to keep us. And without the Word, we're not going to get the growth that God has for us. So it says, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Now, that's the scripture here is saying, you won't even be a priest to me. I'm going to go somewhere with this word. And then the next part is, this is where I want you to see for your families. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, we have forgotten the law of our God, I will also forget thy children. Turn to someone and say, he said, I will forget thy children. And this is where I'm going with the message. How many of us want to see our household blessed? We want to see our household blessed, but we don't understand that God is trying to fill the emptiness in our life and fill the void in our life. But when we do not allow the Word to be our foundation, what goes on is even our next generation are suffering. Your children are suffering. As the sister stood up and she talked about suicide, that spirit of suicide, guess what? Only Christ can fill the void in your life. You show me somebody that has had a lot of success, had money, had a great job, and they're still dealing with depression. Is that so? I remember when I was growing up in the neighborhood, I had friends that were Catholic, and they... And I remember I used to talk to the brothers that would hang out with me, and they would always tell me, Pastor, we go to church, but I don't understand none of the word because they're speaking in another language. I think it was Latin. And that generation was growing up without even knowing what was going on because they were speaking to them with another tongue. I need you to know that God wants us to know the word for ourselves. If I speak to you, you need to understand what I'm saying. And so my friends begin to hang out with me, and they begin to see the God in me, and they begin to change. And one day, one of the brothers came to me and said, Mark, you know, I go to church every Sunday. I don't really want to go there no more because the priests are out drinking and smoking. Right after church, they're smoking and drinking and doing this and that. And I told him, I said, listen, you do what your parents want you to do. Honor them. And as you honor them, know the word of God for yourself. You see that? And what happened was these young brothers all of a sudden started coming over every Tuesday. We started praying. And one day, one of the parents called me up and said, my son cannot come over anymore. And it was devastating. And then what the parents said to his son said that I don't want you praying with them. And he meant blacks. And he began to cry. And he started saying, I don't understand. How can we be in a church and we don't want to be around each other? I need you to know that lack of knowledge is why we're destroying one another. Why we're not coming together as a body. Because we don't understand what the word of God is saying. That unity is strength. The next experience I had is I was sitting in my class and I was a blessing to one of my friends in class, and he was in 12th grade. And his family was from a Catholic faith, and they were devout Catholics. They always went. And this is not a Catholic bashing message. And at this time, what happened was, this brother came to me in school and says, you know what? I've been crying all night. He's a 12th grader now. A young man saying he was crying. I said, what's wrong? He said, my brother married a black girl. And they had children together. And my father came in and said, you see these dogs? He said, I don't want them kids in this house. And it hurt his heart so much because He said my parents were devout, and they did this as a tradition. They believed in the God that we serve, and they believe in Jesus. I need you to understand that. I'm going to make this word practical to you, because when Jesus preached, he preached in parables. Do you know why he preached in parables? Because he wanted somebody to understand. So many times we preach in a way so that no one can be reached. We want to talk as if we're elegant and all these other things. God wants us to just get the straight. Now, what happened in this experience? So he began to talk to me. He started crying. We went off and talked, and I began to tell him. I said, love. The Bible says, through loving kindness have I drawn all men unto me. How is a church going to change the world if we don't know his word is talking about he's the God of peace? If we want to see change happen, it starts with peace. Turn to someone and say, it starts with peace. So the scripture I have in Matthew 13:13 says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see. Now the scripture, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I speak to them in parables, seeing that they don't even see. And he says in the next scripture, he says, and hearing they do not hear. See, and then the next part it says, nor do they understand. I want you to know you cannot see the next generation grow spiritually in the things of God if you're not teaching them nothing. You cannot be in a place that's called holy and it not be sanctified, like the world said, to set yourself apart. Now, the reason why this is real, because I believe that some of us want to be lifted, some of these things out of our life, we want them off us. Is that right? And if you want that stuff off you, you have to know how to set yourself apart, even when it hurts. You can't come and let the word be spoken and you not hear. So the scripture is saying that the word is being spoken. Jesus was talking to the people, and he said, guess what? I speak in parables because they're not even seeing, even though I'm right in front of them. How is it that we can be a nation that knows how to have church, that knows how to praise God, and we can fill arenas and pray, but we can't get along? We can be, see, I need you to understand, because when we go before the Father in heaven, it's not going to be white, black, Spanish. No, the Bible says that he created us all in his image. Say all in his image. That means you have no reason to not like somebody. God is trying to wake up the church, and the church has to understand that in the scripture, he's saying that I'm speaking in a certain way because I want somebody to understand me. I don't want them to just know the ritual. I want them to know the man. And that's where God is trying to take us. So I remember when I was praying with my friend, okay, all of a sudden, he couldn't pray with us anymore on Tuesday. Now, let me tell you, in my neighborhood, I was the only black kid, and that we had a couple other families, but we had very few black kids, and all my friends are white. Now, today, do you know 4 of them young brothers out of 20 are now pastors of the churches? You see, God said, I will make you fishers of men. See, you shall leave a trail behind you that testifies in your behalf. But we don't have that in our life because no one's speaking about Jesus. And when I mean nobody's speaking about Jesus, guess what? No one's living the word so change can happen in someone's life. Instead, what we're trying to do is get people to hang with us, to talk about people or to talk about things. But don't you know that brother that's with you is dealing with suicide? Do you know that that young lady that's with you is probably dealing with some molestation? Don't you know that somebody needs to talk to you about something important and you still playing games? But what I'm going to tell you is when I begin to minister to the kids, guess what happened? The young brother that couldn't hang with us anymore because his parents said, I don't want you praying with them. One day, the parents called me up crying and said, guess what? My son is addicted. My son has been through all these treatments And guess what? He was different when he was with you. I need you to know that God is about changing lives. The testimonies that gone forward this morning is about changing lives. The Bible says we overcome by the word of our testimony. That's why the devil wants to sit you down and shut you up. Because somebody's listening to your testimony and they're receiving strength through it. Give God some praise. So Jesus said, I speak in parables. They do not hear me. They do not understand. So God wants us to understand. Don't do something if you're not getting no understanding. I want you to see this here. King Solomon was the son of David. And the Bible says that King Solomon was one of the greatest and wisest kings that ever lived. All right. And the Bible says that King Solomon, he had three books. OK, he had the Proverbs, he had Ecclesiastes, and then he also had a book which was called the Songs of Solomon. And that was poems. Amen. Now, the Bible says that he was one of the wisest. He was considered wise beyond his years. And so when you look in the book of Proverbs or also in the book of Ecclesiastes, his journey was everything was about understanding. Turn to somebody and say, understanding. And so he desired to understand the word of God and know how to be successful. So the thing is, in the scripture, it says that he was not only the wisest, but he was one of the richest. We have too many Christians walking around poor because they don't understand that God said you can have. You don't have to have less. No, he will bless you right now. No, God wants you to be blessed. Turn to somebody, blessed. He don't want you depressed. No, he wants you blessed. So we have to change the mindset of the church and of the people of God so that we understand that God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be overcomers. He wants to lift things out of our life so that we can smile again. The church has to be a place that God is being revealed. If you turn me to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, and I wanted to give you a little bit about him. That he was one of the wisest. And the scripture says that it says that Solomon was a son of King David. And it says here that one who has increased in wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before him. Okay, so I want to set this up. Now, if you turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 8. It says, now, reason why I want to start here, and I'm just going to go through this really quickly, is Solomon was assessing his life. And he began to say that all that he had gained and everything that he had accomplished was a question in his heart. And the reason why is because he felt that I've gained a lot of things and I've done a lot of things, but I'm still left with a void. And so he began to write this where he says, there is a time for everything. Say, there's a time for everything. And a season for every activity under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uphold. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. So he's going through this right here. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. Amen. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Now he's going through these things because he's answering questions in his heart. And God has begun to give him this wisdom, so he's sharing it with them, saying there's a time for everything. So some of us get caught up in a certain season, and we get stuck. Somebody passed away in our life, and there's a time of mourning, but then it says there's also a time to do what? To dance. So I want you to understand where we have issues in life is because what we do, the enemy wants us to not know the word and understand that these things happen. All this stuff happened under the sun. That means it happened to somebody. Whatever happened to you happened to somebody else. But as he began to go through this, he was saying there's a time for all these things. And next part is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. Sometimes you got to throw stuff away. We hold on to it too long. If it's not the right relationship, let it go. But instead, we keep praying, Lord, I keep praying for this. No, he said, let it go. There's a time for all things under the sun. It says a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. There's a time for you to be quiet. There's a time for all things. Now, the reason why I'm going here with this is the next scripture, let me finish this, in a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. See, in there it says everything is beautiful in its time. When God created the earth and mankind, he said it was good. But there is a time sometime where things are no longer beautiful. How many been in something where it's nice right now, but now it's a mess? And sometimes what we do is we allow that situation to hold us hostage. And Solomon began to go through this and wanted them to understand that all these things happen under the sun. See, nothing better for people than to be happy. This is NIV. Be happy. Why can't we come in the house of God and smile? We have programmed ourselves that this is what God is okay with. And that's why I was talking to a young lady at my work, and she was so impressed with our church. I showed some things online. She said, them are young people that praising God in the choir? Yes. And she said, what do you do? Why do they come to church? She said, I'm Catholic, and you know the whole place is full of old people. Nobody there. The young generation don't want to come anymore. It starts because of the word that I said in the beginning. How I mentioned in the beginning where it says in the word that what happens is also forget thy children. Because no knowledge, you're not passing the word of God. You're passing traditions. So I want to ask each and every one of you, like when the young lady called me, the gentleman's mother, when he was going through his struggle, called me and cried and said, can I talk to you? And I went over the house. Now think about this. I'm just a 16-year-old kid. She calling me up, asking me to come over. I go over their house and pray for them. And then all of a sudden she said, I want you to talk to my son. And then all of a sudden, that son had a change of heart. God had changed his life. Now, this was years after. I need you to understand, when we don't have the knowledge of the word, we do things just out of tradition. Some of us are here just out of tradition. And we're getting a word, but we're not receiving it. And God wants us to change who we are so that he can lift something out of your life. How many want to see God lift things off of you? So when he says that there's a time for everything, what we do is we get caught up in our time. We get caught up in our time of mourning, and then we say, God has left us. And he hasn't left you. You're just going through some stuff under the sun. You're going through some situation. Someone might be going through a divorce. You say, well, I can never heal over that. Someone might be sick in the hospital, dying of cancer. And you say, I can never live. No, God wants you to know that there's a time for everything. But if you give it to him, no matter where you find yourself, you're going to find out that you're all right. Praise God. I hope and pray that you enjoyed the word today. I know that we are going through so many changes in our lives and different seasons. But always remember that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he's going to finish the race for for us if we trust in His Word. Thank you again for listening to Revival Today. Again, please be part of our online campus. Meaning this is that, listen, some of us are far away. We're in college. We might be in prison. We might be in the hospital, retirement home. Make us your ministry of choice. Be part of our online ministry. Be part of our podcast, Revival Today. And be a member, all right, of NEP House of Praise. Again, we thank you for all your love and support. If you'd like to donate, please go to our website, houseofpraisenep.org. That's all one word. You can donate there by clicking on the donate button on our website. Also, if you want to get my new release, I'm Free, that song, just go to our website and click on shop, and you can find it for 99 cents to download it. Please be a member again of NEP House of Praise. NEP stands for New England Pentecostal Ministries under my father, Bishop Stanley Church. Thank you.